He wants us to have an intentional relationship with Him. And we're going to start out by reading together Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. So if you have a bulletin, you'll grab that bulletin, look at the inside right-hand cover that has the same text that I'll be using this morning. If you didn't bring your Bibles today, there's Bibles in the pew in front of you that later on, because we'll be back in Ephesians. Well, let's read together Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to ask my brother Tim Smith if he'll bless the message this morning.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in your house this morning. We thank you for the beautiful weather also. We thank you for your love and spirit. We ask that you'll be in the house this morning.
Yes.
Brother David, as he delivers this message, that we'll interpret it the way we need to help our lives and to help others to pull Jesus into our hearts. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross this morning too, recognizing that he died for our sins and all the suffering that he did just for our love. For us, for our souls.
Yes.
And Father, we cannot thank you enough for that. So we thank you for your kindness, your love, your mercy, and bless the message again, Father. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. He starts out, he says, see, you walk circumspectly. You know, when I read the King James, sometimes I don't understand the words. And I didn't know what he was talking about when he said, be circumspect. But when I look the word up, I can just demonstrate it better than I can say it. Have you ever seen somebody walking like this? And have they ever walked into you? Have you been at the store? Last year I was at the store during Christmas season, and I was coming down the aisle, and this lady was behind me, and she ran over me with the shopping cart. And I mean, she was looking at everything and talking with her friends, and I see people sometimes at Walmart, they'll stand and they'll clog the aisles talking to one another. Have y'all ever seen that? And they just forget where they're at. And you know, that's what it means. He says, you know what God is saying in circumspectly is this. He said, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of where you're at. You know, some of the worst accidents I've had is when I have not paid attention to where I was going. I remember one time I was taking some stuff into my workshop, and I have a ramp in front of my workshop. I'm trying to prepare for the day that I'm going to be in a wheelchair. Amen. And I got a ramp there, and it had rained that day. I was headed up, and I was focused on doing what I was going to do in the workshop. And I just went up those steps, not thinking, well, the ramp was wet. And the first thing I know, my feet went out from under me, and my head went down where my feet used to be. And I was laying on the ground, and I was saying, Lord, is it time for me to come home? And it knocked the air out of me. It happened because I was not paying attention to what was going on around me. You know, if you're called as a Christian, if God has called you, He calls you to a relationship with Him. And He calls you to walk circumspectly, to be careful, to be aware of your surroundings. He says, we're not to be as fools, it says in the text. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Yeah, that word fools, when you read that, you don't know what that means. But Ephesians 14:1 defines, or excuse me, Psalms 14:1 defines the word fool. In Psalm 14:1, if you want to write that down, it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You see, fool in the Bible is a word that refers to those who are unbelievers, who do not believe that there is a God. It's also a reference to people who live their lives as if there is no God. And there are a lot of Christians who call themselves Christians and may even indeed be Christians, but they live as if there is no God. But see, if you're born again, God is with you. He's always there. And God tells us to intentionally follow Him all the time. That's what He's talking about in this text. We're to follow Him all the time. So the big question today is, I want to ask you this. Are you in a relationship with Jesus?
Amen.
Or are you just following a religion? Because one will bless you and the other won't do anything for you. Let's talk about that for just a moment. He says to be in a relationship with him. It tells us to be, he says, look at the text again. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, counting every day, every moment as precious, because the days are evil. Be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine. I might put in there, don't get high with pot. I might say, don't take and sniff cocaine or be hooked on oxycodones. Do not let anything take the place of what's most important for you if you're a Christian, and that is, look at the next phrase, be filled with the Spirit. That's a reference to the Spirit of God. So let's talk about that today. Being filled with the Spirit. Jesus tells us to follow him, to redeem the time, to live for him. And that's the way Christianity has always been from the very beginning. The very first disciples Jesus called were in Mark chapter 1, verse 14. He came along and he found two disciples, and the Bible says they were busy fishing. Now, Jesus looked at those disciples, they're busy casting their nets, and he says, hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, come and follow me. And what did they do? They didn't say, well, Jesus, wait a minute, we've got a loaded net. Well, wait a minute, Jesus, we've got to fish to the end of the day. Well, we've got to do this, or we've got to do that. You know what they did? The Bible said they immediately followed Jesus. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
But that's what God calls you to if you're a Christian. He wants you to put himself first in your life.
Amen.
He wants you to love him with all of your heart. And he doesn't want second place, but he wants first place because he loves you very much. Very, very much. Jesus told us this in Matthew 16. He said, if anyone will come after me, now I'm going to ask y'all a question. Do y'all want to be in heaven one day?
Amen.
Then why are you living like you're in hell right now? I want you to think about that. I didn't misspeak that. If you want to be in heaven one day, why are you living like you're in hell right now? If God is with you, then he's with you right now.
Amen.
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 He's with me when I'm going through the valleys. He's with me whether I'm in the valley or on the mountaintop. He's with me all the time. And that excites me, and that makes my face do this. And I know God loves me, and he adopted me. There is nothing worse than seeing somebody singing in the choir, and I thank God we've got a happy choir, don't you? But I've seen choirs where they'll get in there and they'll sing, and they're just so lackluster. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. If that's the way you're living, something's wrong in your life. Because for me, everyday life is a gift from God. God has given you a gift today. And those children that you have, God has given you the gift of their lives to raise them and to teach them about Jesus. And husbands, those wives that God has given you, he's given you them so that you can lift them up and teach them about Jesus. And wives, God has given you to that husband so that you can treat them like you would treat Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. And wherever you go or whatever you do or whatever you do during the day, it's all about letting God shine through you. And that's what makes life worth living. What makes life worth living is not the stuff you have, but it's the God who has you.
Amen.
And that is what brings joy all the time in my life. And I've had my share of knocks. I've had a child died at 17. I've had terrible things happen. We've had stuff that's happened in our lives. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, God has always been with me.
Amen.
And that's what excites me. It excites me every single day. I don't know what's going to happen next in my life. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the thing that I know is this, that no matter where I go, Jesus is going to be with me. And no matter what challenge I come against, God is going to be with me. So God tells me, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Let God have all of me. Don't take all of me and then give God just a little wedge. See, that's like whenever somebody gives me a chocolate pie. I can't eat them anymore. God's getting back at me. Amen. But if people used to give me a chocolate pie and I'd take it home and I'd say, Sherry, you can have a slice. And then when her back was turned, I'd eat the other three quarters. But that really isn't love. Amen. If I love her, I'd give her half. But see, God doesn't want half of your life. What does the text say? Does he say, give me 25% of the Spirit? He says, just take 25% or give me 10% of the Spirit. No, no. He says, be
filled.
Y'all say that with me. Be
filled.
One more time. This side got it. That side's still asleep. One more time. Be
filled.
Be filled with the Spirit. Let God have all of you, not just part of you, all of you. That's what he wants. You know, several years ago, I had another car, and one I'm not driving right now, God's taking it away to a junkyard. But I remember I was a young Christian. I had a bumper sticker I stuck on my car, and it said, how many of y'all have ever seen this? And I hope you ain't got it on your car. But it's a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. Have y'all ever seen those? I thought, what a good thing to say. God is my co-pilot. And I put it on my bumper, and I drove that car around. I thought, God is my co-pilot. Can I tell y'all something? God don't want to be your co-pilot. But some of y'all, God is your co-pilot. He's in the right-hand seat. And you ignore him while everything's going well and you're flying the plane and everything's going good. And then when you start hitting some turbulence, you're looking over there at the co-pilot and going, we got to do something about this. And God, will you do something about it? You know, God can't do anything about it unless you let go of the steering wheel and let him be the pilot. Amen. Y'all follow that?
Amen.
God must be the pilot. He has to be the pilot in the bad things as well as the good things. He has to be the pilot at your business, wherever you're going. He has to be the pilot of your health. He has to be the pilot of everything. That's why he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if I'm filled with the Spirit, what is this going to look like? Well, look in Ephesians 5. I told you we'd be in Ephesians. I hope you're there. If you're not able to find it, there's a table of contents in your Bible. But I'll tell you, it's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. I can't remember things anymore. Thank God I could remember that. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. Look at it with me. Ephesians 5 verse 2. If you're filled with the Spirit, then what happens? He says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love. You know, in our world today, young men, young women fall in love and they fall out of love. They fall in love, they fall in bed. I was watching a show the other day called Designing Women. Have y'all ever seen that show? Had a lot of comedy in it, but also had some weird stuff in it.
Amen.
But that's what's going to happen when you're watching TV. And this one lady was dating a man who she was not married to, and she was talking to her girlfriends about dating that man. And one of the girlfriends asked her the question, said, well, he's a pretty good man. Have you taken the lid off the cookie jar? Have you taken the lid off the cookie jar? You know, that's the way our world looks at it. But that's not godly. You see, God who made you, and he made you intentionally, he made you women not to use your bodies in ways that are wrong, and men not to use your bodies in ways that are wrong. But he gave you your bodies so that you could enjoy them. But he wants you to love and not lust.
Amen.
And see, if you're walking in love, look what it says in the text. Ephesians 5, 2, it says, but fornication, that's sexual immorality, and all uncleanness, that is homosexual immorality, or covetousness, that's greediness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You see, if you imitate Jesus, if God is filling you up, then God is there all the time. And we're to walk in sexual purity. Let me tell you something about Christianity. It's different from all other religious systems out there. And I hate to call Christianity religion, because it's not a religion. You know, a lot of people, everybody in the world has a religion. Did y'all know that? The atheists have a religion. Their God is nothing, but they believe in that. There's a group called Freedom for Religion. They go around, they're doing their best to destroy churches because that's their God. Evolutionists, they have a religion. They believe junk science, and they believe that. They believe in carbon dating, and they preach that, and they push that on the schools. Everybody has a religion. They do. But what's the difference between Christianity and religion? Well, let me give you this little statistic, because I love this statistic. There's over 700,000 words in the Bible. 700,000. I had it written down in my notes, but again, I'm getting feeble-minded and can't remember everything. But there's over 767,000 words in the Bible. Do you know how many times the word religion shows up in the Bible? Seven times. Did y'all know that? And did you know those seven times, it's only used one time in a positive manner? And that's when it deals with taking care of someone else, taking care of widows and orphans. You see, if we are going to be intentional in our faith, then we need to understand something. When you were saved, then something happened in your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us this. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Now see, some people think, I'm going to go to church and get me a little Jesus. And then when I come to church, I'm going to get me a little Jesus. And I'm going to leave, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to leave Jesus here until I come back again. And they think Jesus lives in this building. Jump to that. Yeah. Some people believe Jesus lives right here. That he walks up and down these aisles and he stays here all the time. And he never goes. But you know what the Bible says? It says if you're born again, God lives right here.
Amen.
Not just in me. Y'all point at yourself right now. Amen. Amen. If you're born again, God's there. He's inside of you. And so what you do, Christian, God is involved in it.
Yes.
And if you get involved in sexual sin, you drag God into it.
Yes.
He's there. He said, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He says in Romans, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. God is with you all the time, Christian. And therefore, what you do with your bodies, God sees it. And what you do in the dark, God sees it. And what you do in the light, God sees it. And when you do a wrong thing or you say a wrong thing, God sees it. Amen.
Amen.
And since God's there all the time, He wants you to live as if God is there all the time. And that refers to sexuality. God gave us the ability to have sex because God loves us. But we're not to abuse that. We're to use it only in the way that God prescribes it. Number two, if we imitate Jesus, we're going to imitate Him in the use of our tongues. Now, right now, ow. Right now, ow. Right now, ow, I'm going to step on everybody's toes, even mine. We've got to use it and use our tongues. Boy, it got uncomfortable in here. Because we all have done this, haven't we? Look at the text. Preacher, you're meddling now. No, I'm not. Look at Ephesians 5:4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now that word jesting doesn't mean you can't tell a joke. But that word jesting is a word which means coarse jesting. I can't tell you how many times I've heard some Christian men come together and one of them go, let me tell you a joke. And it'll be a sexually improper joke. Would you tell that to Jesus? Or we get together as a group and we begin to cut up on somebody who's not there. Amen?
Amen.
We get to cut somebody down. God hears it. knows what you said. And I want y'all to know something. As I say that, I'm not saying it self-righteously because I've done it too. You see, the thing about gossip is contagious. And when somebody gossips, somebody else will hop right in there. You know why that is? Because it makes me feel bigger if I can stomp somebody else down. That's the old sin nature in us. And we've all done it. But God says, I don't want you doing it. I went into a business one time that was supposed to be run by Christians. And I listened while Christians in the background cut down the members of their church. And I thought to myself, I would never want to go to that church. And I'm a Christian. God loves you very, very much.
Amen.
He wants you to watch your tongue. Boy, it's quiet in here right now. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I love you. I want you to know I love you too. You know, I saw something the other day. Somebody said, your preacher don't know what you've done. He just knows what God told him to tell you. So if you've done it, I don't know that you've done it. And I'm not replying to anything you've done or said about me. Yes, I know I'm half the time I'm not all the way here. Amen. That's okay. I'm not saying this because I've heard something y'all said about me. I'm saying this because the Bible says it. And we need to watch this right here. Because what you say affects what others think about Jesus. And God is right there with you. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all amen that a little louder.
Amen.
Number three, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm to imitate Jesus, not the world. Look at verse 8 through 12. He says, you were sometimes darkness. And that's a hard way to say that. That doesn't even sound right. We were sometimes darkness. In a literal translation, what it means is you used to be darkness. You used to be, and we were. We all were used to be darkness. But what does he say now? But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do children of light walk, Lord? How do I do that? Look at verse number 9. The fruit of the Spirit. Well, see, if the Spirit is filling you, then your life will be fruitful. And the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. And verse number 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, walking in the same way that Jesus walked. So we're to be, and there's a trinity there of things we're to be. The Christian is to be good to others. And that begins with kindness, amen. That begins with kindness, to be good to people, to speak well of people, to encourage people, lift people up. I've had people that are so very discouraging. Have y'all ever been around somebody discouraging? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all said, I don't know anybody like that. Well, they're probably thinking about you. Amen. Discouragers are always with a negative word. Boy, it's a pretty day outside, but yeah, it's cold. We sure need this rain, but yeah, I'd like to see the sun. Always negative. And I don't like to be around negative people. Do you? I don't like to be around people that are always finding fault. And God doesn't like to be around people that are always finding fault. Look for the good in someone. And say something good to somebody. Lift them up and thank them for being there. Because that person was made in the image of God. And each person made in the image of God is precious to God. The fact that we're together today is a gift from God. And you are valuable the way God has made you. Did y'all know that?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor right now and tell him, you're valuable. You are. And every moment of every day is valuable.
Amen.
With that person. You know, it saddens me that oftentimes the only time we'll give someone flowers is at a funeral. And the only time we'll talk good about somebody is when they're dead and gone. But every moment of every day, you're precious. And we need to be mindful of that. That person you're sitting next to, you may never see them again. You may not. I may not be here tomorrow. Did y'all know that? I don't plan on going nowhere. And I hope y'all ain't planning on me going nowhere. But I don't know. I was reading something the other day. His preacher, he was preaching, and he was preaching about serving the Lord. And he said, whenever God's ready for me to come home, I'm ready to go. And when he said amen, he stepped off the dais, and he fell dead at the feet. I hope he was serious. Amen? Amen. But I don't know. Do you know when you're going to go? I don't know. I don't know when any of you are going to go. I hope you all outlive me. But let me tell you something. We don't know. And so we're to be good to one another. We're to be righteous. We're to walk the right way. And we're to live in truth. That's what we're to do. And then I want you to notice something else. Look at verse 5. And I want to end with this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful. And look at that next word. Works of darkness. Now, I want you to circle that in your Bible, because that's very important. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Every one of you should have sinners that you're friends with. He doesn't say don't be friendly to sinners. He just says don't be friendly with sinful works. Now, there's a difference there. Because where did you usually find Jesus when Jesus was on this earth? The Bible said he was sitting down eating with sinners. He was sitting down with women of questionable character. He went to people's houses and sat with them. He went to Pharisees' houses and sat with them. Jesus was always friendly to everybody. But Jesus never said it was okay what they were doing. He just loved them. See, we're called, if we're light, to go out and befriend others, to be nice to others, to love our enemies. And we're not called to hurt our enemies, but to love our enemies and to shine and to remind them that Jesus loves them. That's how the world has changed, one person at a time. And what you have to do is you have to go out and befriend people, not what they're doing. You can be friends with a homosexual without agreeing with homosexuality. You can be friends with an adulterer without befriending the sexual sin. You can be friends with a drug addict. You should be friends with people in prison. They need that. You see, those people that are falling in prison, there but for the grace of God goes you and me. That could have happened to me. It could have happened to you. If we'd have taken a different path in life, we could be in jail right now. Brother David, they're preaching to us every week. So we're not to be self-righteous, but we're to be like Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus walked as if every person mattered. Every person matters. Every single one of you matter. And every single person out there matters. That's what God wants us to be. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love you so very, very much. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message. It has made us uncomfortable, Lord, but it's your word. Lord, in your early church, the question was asked, what must we do to be saved? But Lord, in the church today in America, the question is, how much can we do and still be saved? Lord, we need to live for you. Lord, let it begin with me. Let it begin with my life. Let me live dedicated to you, Lord. And every person in this place, Lord, let us live in constant relationship with you. Lord, let us not live as if you are not, but you are. And if we're born again, Lord, you're with us no matter where we go. Let us live that way, knowing that we are your children and that one day we'll see you face to face. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't have Jesus as Lord and Savior, let today be the day, Lord, that they will receive him. And Lord, I thank you so much for the grace by which we become children of God. Amen. We cannot work into your family. But now that we're in your family, we want to shine for you. We want to be fishers of men with you, Jesus. We want to be people who shine for you wherever we go. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. And all God's people said,
amen.
Brother Jim, come and lead us in a final hymn.